Most of us don't understand the rationale why we do anything. You know, as a hypnotherapist, I see that all the time. There's numerous stories of people being put into a hypnotic trance and being told that, you know, at 2:30, you're going to walk over and open the window. You're going to forget that we gave you this command. But at 2:30, you're going to walk over and open the window. And then we wake them up. And we'll just kind of go about our business. And at 2:30, they walk over and they open the window. And you ask them, why did you do it? And they say, I just got real stuffy. You know, there'll be a rationale. They'll think of something to say, but they won't know the real reason. And that's true with all of our intentions. For the most part, we don't know what the real reason is. This is why I think it's so important to go to the question, how do you know if it's coming from ego or it's coming from the divine? To kind of use some conscious discrimination here to be aware if it is coming from divine, follow through at full speed. If it's coming through from ego, much like me saying, oh, I was thinking about getting a BMW Z4. Well, that's sounding like it's more like ego. It doesn't feel like when the manifestation weekend was descending upon me, you know, and I felt inspired to follow through on that. Completely different feeling.
Talk to me about frequency. So we write things down, and then between the frequency as well as in visualization.
Yeah, that's a common question. I don't have any rule of thumb for that. It's more, if there's any rule of thumb, it's going by your intuition. You know, if you feel like you need to rewrite it, go rewrite it. If you feel like you need to reread it, go reread it. When I was in the Mental Toughness Institute program, they had us write a vision, a one-year vision. In other words, it's 1 year from today, what all took place in your life on as many levels, which would address some of what you were talking about, as many levels as possible. You address all of it. And, of course, you're doing it with feeling. You're doing it with as completely as possible, covering all the bases. And then you reread it almost daily. But that was their advice. I'm more intuitive. I just say, hey, go with what is being nudged within you.
Just to speak a little to that, I wanted to get out of secured and unsecured debt completely. And I had to work out of getting out of not wanting to be in debt and being prosperous. And I developed not only writing this down, but also when I was doing something, whatever it was, and having that feeling of, I want to get out of debt, I would say, okay, well, if I was perfectly abundant right this moment, what would I be doing? What in this moment would change? And just asking myself that question would completely change my thing. And then also forgetting about it to some extent, making peace with the fact that, yeah, I was in debt and didn't like it, but I was going to move forward, and what would I be, you know, if I wasn't? And have now moved to the place where I have completely got rid of $70,000 worth of secured and unsecured debt.
Okay.
When she said that, it reminded me of something that I do. It says, I ask myself, who would I have to be? What kind of person is the person that's debt-free, that's whatever it is you want?
I was thinking about the core values issue. That might be a partial litmus test for knowing or recognizing the divine, if there's an alignment with core values, possibly. I don't know. It's a thought.
Yeah. And again, I'm trying to stay away from over-intellectualizing the whole process in mind. Now, that may feel perfectly right for you. It doesn't feel right for me anymore. I want to go directly to how would I like it to be if it fell out of the clear blue sky and describe the feelings as best of my ability and pretty much let it be at that. You know, and then be alert to where I'm being put, what situations are showing up, and knowing that I have to take action when they do show up. Those are parts of my agreement. Okay, any other questions? Oh, okay. I'm not sure how to expand on that. When I'm talking about, all of it's coming from trust. So let's back up. I told you that I was at the Dr. Len weekend that you had come to, the dinner and so forth, February 25th. And the next day we're having breakfast, and the whole idea about doing a manifestation weekend comes to me, and I don't want to do it. I'm resistant to the idea. I wait 3 days to see if the idea will pass. It doesn't pass, so it's now up to me to implement it. Now, actually, in the best of all possible worlds, I should have acted instantly. This is what I tell everybody else to do. Money likes speed. You got the idea? Jump on it. Send that email out. But it was more like, I'm overwhelmed here. I don't want any more work. Here comes another idea. I wait to see if it'll go away. It doesn't. All right, so I send out the email. It works, obviously. I mean, you all show up. Now, along the way, I find out that Dr. Len's doing a weekend in San Jose, the weekend before this. Now, part of me says, don't go to that, Joe. You have a deadline to finish. You just finished the K9 concert promotion. I had been sunburned. I was still healing from that. I had lots of other stuff going on. I don't need to get on the plane. Plus, we had just come from Ohio for a wedding and so forth. I don't need to get on a plane and go to another event. But the part of me that's listening to out of the clear blue sky comes this invitation to go see Dr. Len again. just before I'm about to do this seminar, I can't dismiss that. It has a different feeling to it. If I trust myself, if I say something, which I often say to some clients, that if you had no fear, you knew that you would be safe, money was no object, it was going to work out perfectly, would you go do it? Well, yeah, I'd go do it. Obviously, I'd go do it. So I say yes, and I go to it. So again, it's a matter of paying attention to the opportunities. An email comes in about a mental toughness institute for weight control. I'd never heard of it before. Smells like an opportunity right after my intention. Next part of it, take action. The action I had to take was say, okay, how much do you want? Where do I pay? And book it. And those were also big things for me to do. A lot of trust involved. I don't know who those people are. I don't know what I'm in for. There's weekly calls that's going to go on. There's daily homework they want me to do. I have to report on everything that I am doing health-wise. But again, the feeling within me, my connection to the divine, if I can say that, was saying, that's what you do. And you know it, Joe. Doing otherwise would have been escaping what I knew to be true. So I think there's a degree of being honest with yourself. I've often used the phrase, be ruthlessly honest with yourself. Not just honest with yourself, but ruthlessly honest. Because most of us, I think Craig and I were talking earlier, most of us know what to do. It's a matter of, okay, you're aware of it, now you got to go do it. And I've already admitted that if it's something that I'm afraid to do, it's telling me to go and do a giant lotto hoax. It's going to cost me money and be possibly dangerous to my reputation. You know, not knowing how it's going to go, but it's bubbling up like this is what you're supposed to go do. I have to go do it. If it's something that's making me nervous, if I'm afraid of it, I know I have to go do it. A couple things that are going on. First of all, I have learned the power of my word. And so if I say I'm going to do something, I have to do it. I mean, there's no backing out of it. And this is an agreement that I made with myself because I know that the universe is watching. And if I say that I'm going to do something and then I don't do it, the next time I ask the divine that I would like to experience something, they'll say, hey, you lied to us before. You know, you said you were going to do something, you didn't do it. Now you're asking us to believe you this time around? So I don't know if that makes sense, but there's a certain credibility that I have with myself that I believe is a connection to the divine. So I have to go through with the things that I've said that I want to do. At the moment, I can't think of an incident. If one occurs to me later, I'll share it with everybody. But right now, can you think of something, Marissa, that I'm missing? Traveling. Okay, I don't remember. Oh, the travel bureau people. Yes, yes. That did go on for a while, and I did meet with them for a while. And I started to have a nagging feeling that this wasn't right, or it wasn't going to work out, or it wasn't right for me. I found a professional way to bow out by finding them a replacement for me in that particular case. And I guess another example that comes up, I was asked to be on a teleseminar program. One of the ones that you were invited on, and I don't even know if you ever ended up on it or not. You weren't on the first call. I was on it. And it did not feel right at all to me. But all I had agreed is that I'll get on the first call and we'll see how it goes. And it didn't feel right. It wasn't going anywhere. I was already busy. I didn't feel any out of the clear blue sky connection or reason to keep going. So I emailed everybody on the group and said, I'm just too busy for this. I wish you all well. No negativity at all. There was no obligation. I wasn't committed to doing anything. It wasn't like I signed a contract that I would be there. And bowed out. Wrote me a nice letter back and just said, thanks. Does that help on those? Yeah, I believe there's an inner compass in all of us. And what we want to do is follow that inner compass. And sometimes if it's turned you into a corner that you don't like because you're with people you're not in alignment with, I read Richard Branson's book recently, the one that's called Screw It, Just Do It. Screw It, Let's Just Do It. A brief little book he just came out with. Well worth reading. I really love Richard Branson. He says if he's in these positions where it's not fun for him to do something, he either has to find a way to make it fun or get somebody else to do it, or you have to dissolve it. And I think there's some kind of truth in that. You know, I got to find a way to make it fun because I already said that I was going to do it, or I got to find out why it's not fun, or I got to get somebody else to do it.
Yeah, I think for me, the way I would look at that is if there's something that I'm getting involved with and then I am scared of, let's say, the next step, let's say it's uncomfortable or, you know, gets your adrenaline pumping, but I think what you're talking about is if you actually feel like, yeah, this is just wrong. You know, it's different than fear. Like being, if someone dares me to do something, that's not the same thing as, you know, hey, I've got to take this ropes course or something like that and jump out of a tree. Well, you know, I might be scared of it, but if I do actually feel like something is just bad or taking the wrong direction, certainly that's a way out. You know, it's real clear and easy to take. But that's where you just got to kind of trust your gut on that one.
I just thought of another example. Evel Knievel. You all know Evel Knievel, Great Daredevil and so forth. He wrote a testimonial from my book on Barnum in here somewhere. And he doesn't write very much. But I got a testimonial out of him. I talked to him, this was 10 years ago, 11 years ago, 12 years ago. I spent a decade or more. I talked to him quite a bit on the phone. And the first time I got him on the phone, I was just like I was a little kid again, just getting to talk to a superstar, because most of us had grown up with, you know, we probably bruised our knees and everything trying to do some of the stunts he did and wreck some stuff. But he was a daredevil and he was a celebrity and we really admired him and he did some macho stuff and I finally got to talk to him on the phone. And I had sent an email to his website and told him about my Barnum book and saying that I'd like to meet or talk to Evel Knievel and see if he'd like to write the introduction or a foreword or a quote or something. And the next day, I got a phone call from Evel Knievel. And he was in his convertible. He's in Florida. He's driving to the golf course. And music's playing. And he's talking to me on his cell phone, which was, wow, big moment for me. And so I was in the wow moment. I was caught up in, I'm getting to talk to Evel Knievel. And because I was caught up in that ego rush, I didn't realize that he didn't care about me at all. He never wanted to ask me about myself. He didn't ask me about my book. He didn't ask me about my workload. He didn't ask me anything about me. It was all about him. I still stayed on the phone with him. I talked to him again for the next 6 months. We would talk, not very often, maybe once a week or once every couple of weeks. He, of course, wanted me to write his life story. He wanted me to be the author of his book. He did read the Barnum book or enough of it to know that I could write, and he figured I had connections with publishers. But every time I talked to him, I felt uncomfortable. And it didn't dawn on me right away. Part of it, I was intimidated. I was talking to, you know, one of the first superstars that I got to hang out with a little bit.
This concludes Disc 2. Now please insert Disc 3.